This show furnished by Sid Levine.
Oh, yeah. Tower of Power again opening up the Sid Levine Show. This is Sid Levine, and we are ready to rock and roll. For us, first of all, with some funk.
Okay. Yeah, baby.
All right. We got a great, 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 great show tonight. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Another bow? All right. Okay. All right. We have a great, great show tonight. We have two fantastic actors. We have one returning, and we have new to the show, an excellent actor and an excellent singer, I might add.
Thank you, Sid.
What a voice this guy has. And of course, we have the unbelievable, amazing, beauty isn't the right word to describe Liz.
Yeah, keep
She's
going.
Gone past beauty into astronomical beauty.
Oh, wow, that's big.
We have my beautiful co-host Liz Fuller's here.
Hi, Sid. Yeah. Thank
Hi,
you.
Liz.
How was your week?
It was excellent. It was very good. I got a haircut and everything.
You're looking very sharp. Nicely done.
Thank you
done.
Very much,
yes,
dude. And of course, let me introduce the man, the excellent actor, and the excellent commercial actor, too.
And singer.
And the excellent singer, Steve Oliver, is here. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Sid. How are you doing? Good evening, everybody.
All right.
Nice to be here.
And
fantastic.
Returning to the show, the fantastic, the amazing actor himself, David Sunderland. Hi, David. How are you doing?
Thank you, Sid. Thank you for having me back. And Liz, it's just wonderful to see you again.
Oh, you're so lovely. I like coming here. It kind of boosts your ego, doesn't it, once
it
a week?
It sure does. Because during the week, it's really bad.
Oh, it's tough out there, Sid, isn't it, in this land of make-believe.
Land of Oz. And working the live stream, Facebook live stream, is Patricia or Trish. Meason. Hi.
Yay.
Who is also as gorgeous and
yes.
shouldn't be behind the camera.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. She's amazingly beautiful as well.
What okay. a team, Sid, tonight.
It's an embarrassment of riches for us men in this room right now.
That's right. And definitely an embarrassment of riches and people that are dead poor. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. Okay.
All right. So let's get down to business here. I want to start with you first, Steve.
Please do.
Steve, you have been an actor for how many years?
I started when I was 10 years old and
wow.
50 plus years.
50 plus years.
Exactly.
Okay. So you've seen Hollywood change and
quite a bit.
Evolve to tremendous.
Started on the East Coast, came out here to the West Coast in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. So it's changed quite a bit
now,
in so many regards.
Your dad?
Yes.
Excellent actor as well. Ralph Oliver, who I used to represent.
That was an amazing story.
And now I'm representing his son, Steve. Just, it's fascinating.
It was a wonderful turn of events.
It was, Ralph, your dad was an excellent actor, but he was even a better guy.
Absolutely.
He was a very strong guy.
He was one of the most decent people I've ever known in my
yes,
life.
Yes.
You know, every bit my hero. You know,
and someone
I looked up to and someone I adored and loved dearly.
I
was very blessed with very loving, wonderful parents.
I totally agree. Totally 100%.
Brooklyn, New York?
Brooklyn, New York. Born in Brooklyn, New York.
I just looked it up. I was fascinated.
There you go. Raised in Queens and Manhattan as well.
Wow. In Brooklyn. Where in Brooklyn?
Bay Ridge.
Bay Ridge.
Bay Ridge.
How you
and
doing?
How you doing over here? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And you can do the New York accent. You went straight into it. You
exactly.
don't forget it then, do you?
Never. Never leaves you entirely. You
like
know?
Me
you
with like my it. Welsh.
And you
yes.
have to bring it out just at the right moment. You know, it just brings people to a halt. Then we went to Howard Beach, as you know, a
right.
mafia enclave, right?
Yes, sure.
And then I moved with my parents into Greenwich Village. And that was an amazing
wow.
experience. I was in Greenwich Village roughly from 10 to about 27. And was able to go to the High School of Performing Arts up in the 40s and mid-Manhattan. And then graduated there and went to NYU.
Now, your dad,
yes,
worked. Well, he was in the Actors Studio, wasn't he? Or
briefly, he was in part of the Actors
and
Studio.
And he worked with Brando and all those guys were there.
He worked with Paul Newman. He worked with Tony Franciosa. He worked with Ben Gazzara. Some of those names from the past that, you know, to kind of just roll off the tongue.
And how did you get into, you're a fantastic singer. How did you get into singing?
Singing started about, I always sang. My father, he was a musician.
Uh-huh.
Besides being an actor, before he was an actor, he played saxophone and clarinet, and he was really good at it. And he was part of the Glenn Miller band, not the main Glenn Miller band, but during the war they had bands that went out into the country.
Okay.
And he was one of them. His two brothers were in the service, and at that time they instituted the Sullivan Law, which meant that he would not also serve because they already had two brothers going. So he got into music, and he loved it, and he loved the big bands. He loved Sinatra. So at the age of 10, I'd be going to sleep to the sounds of Moonlight in Vermont by Sinatra, okay, which was, it got into my brain. And he was a great singer. My mom was a great singer. And little by little, I started singing myself.
Wow. Mm. Do you play any instruments?
I do not.
Read music?
I can't read music. Forgive me. I don't do that.
Everything's by ear, huh?
But all by ear.
Wow.
And when you can't read music and you do by ear, you have to surround yourself with some really excellent musicians. And I'm very blessed right now to have some of the best musicians in town working with me. An amazing keyboard player named David Moscow, a great guitarist named James Lewis, and a great drummer named Gary Gibbons.
Now, you, as your dad worked, you work at the Grill in the Alley.
Yes.
And how many years did your dad work there?
He worked there for approximately 11 years.
Okay.
Before he passed away. And I've been there 32 years.
Wow.
Well, I'm exaggerating. It'll be 32 years in June.
Holy
I'm cheating
mackerel.
A bit here. Yeah.
32 years
yes.
there. You must have seen everybody in Hollywood.
Absolutely.
I feel like
it's
I
amazing.
Know you from that. I've only ever been there once, but I feel like I met you there.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. Some of my favorite stories were I waited on Johnny Carson, and he could not have been nicer. And one day he made a joke, and he looked at me, and I started laughing, and he knew he had me, you know. And all great cat stand-up comics, once they have you, they have to go in for the kill. So he told another joke, and he's had me going. And he was a sweet man, very much how we perceive him, kind of reserved, but extremely bright and very pleasant.
Well, people would request you, I would think.
All the time. I'm lucky in that regard. It's a great place to work if you have to have a day job, so to speak. It's the best day job to have.
Yeah.
And my favorite pairing of celebrities was one day in booths, right next to each other, and they had their back to each other, with Sean Connery on one booth and Roger Moore in the other. And they were having a business meeting with their own respective tables, and once in a while, they would just sort of lean over and say something to each other, some sort of inside joke or something like that, like whatever it might have been like. Can you believe what we're hearing? Whatever it might have been.
Were they friends?
They knew each other back from the day.
All those guys knew each other.
Can I tell the story of how we met recently?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I'm at the grill working there, and someone says, somebody on table 3 wants to say hello to you. And I said, oh, okay. That happens a lot. I went over, and Sid says to me, are you Steve? I said, yes, I'm Steve. He said, I'm Sid Levine. I used to represent your dad. And, of course, I knew that because I knew the name. I hadn't heard it many times. I went, oh, my God, Sid, this is amazing. And he was there with his lovely bride, Patricia, right?
Yeah.
And we had a great time. And I mentioned to him that things had been going okay, but maybe a little bit better. And I said, what are you doing? Are you still working? He said, of course I'm working. I've got my office in La Cienega and Wilshire and everything. And I said, well, you know, may I give you a call? And he said, absolutely. So we went up. I went up to his office. He was kind enough to see me, kind enough to, you know, have an interview with me. And after about 10 minutes, he just leaned back and he said, let's do this. I think your dad would like that. I said, I know he would love it. And that's how it started.
And what happened?
And here we are. We have a Super Bowl Groupon commercial. Not to mention,
making some money.
Absolutely,
making some money together, and I'm sure your dad's loving it.
Oh my God, he loved it. He would every second of it. I'm sure he's looking down at us right now and smiling.
See, these stories make me feel great of what I do.
I totally understand.
They totally
make sense.
Do. All right, well, let's get to David Sunderland.
Yes,
David. Now I hope I don't embarrass you, David, but you have told me. David's a fantastic actor, but he also, in this town, it's very rare, you're going to celebrate your wedding anniversary of 30 years.
30 years.
Wow.
Whew. May 7th.
Congratulations.
It is surprising in this town.
Well,
good for you.
Incredible.
Well done, David.
I chose wisely.
and
she tolerates me, basically.
Wow.
But, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Hi, Sharon. Love you, sweet.
And your son is going to graduate.
My son's graduating high school in June, so a lot of big stuff coming up.
Wow, that's fantastic.
These life moments.
All right. So, David, how we met, refresh my memory.
You were recommended to me by some of the top casting directors because I was looking for a new agent. And they said, well, you got to go see Sid. Just go say hi. See Sid and Patricia. They're great people. See what they think, you know. And so I one of them made an appointment for me. And I went down and went to your beautiful office on the corner of Wilshire and La Cienega and went up to the seventh floor and – you guys were just lovely. It was just a joy to meet you, and we seemed to get along well, and you took me on.
So, David, the job that you booked was that of a person that was a leader of polygamous.
A cult. Basically, it was a wonderful Samsung global commercial directed by one of the top commercial directors. And I was the leader of an aquatic cult. And nice. We would just sail around singing songs, and it's all for Samsung. So it was just wonderful.
And what happened with Samsung at that time?
Samsung phones decided to start lighting on fire.
Oh, is this when they damn the back of the seat on airplanes as well? Yep.
That is not fair.
So our commercial did get cut a little short. But we had a great time shooting it.
All right. Well, let me ask a few questions here about acting.
Let's do it.
People are listening and they might want to.
In fact, should we give the phone number, Sid? Let me give it out.
Go ahead.
1-800-222-5222.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. What was that again, Liz?
1-800. You don't like me saying triple, do you? So I'm going to say 1-800-222-5222.
That's downright sexy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was very good.
Oh, that wasn't sexy. I could try sexy if you want.
Okay. Are you?
Let's hear it really sexy.
Yeah, it worked for me.
Let's hear it really sexy.
Okay, here comes the phone number. It's 1-800-222-5222.
That's it.
That is.
Damn. Maybe I should have been doing voiceover all this time.
I think I need a cigarette at this point. That's quite amazing.
Thank you. All you guys get up if you can.
Oh,
good one.
All right. All right. So let me ask an acting question here. When they say cry at the drop of a hat, you have to go in to read for a part and you have to cry. Let me ask you first, David.
Yeah.
Can you cry at the drop of a hat?
Yes, I can.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I think I use one of the properties from Strasbourg. It's sense memory, you know.
Really?
I think we've all cried. I think we've all had things in our lives that would make us cry. And if you can just relax and be in the moment. And the character, if as you're reading the character, I'm sure there's a reason why he's crying. And I'm sure it's building up. And so when you're in the moment and you use your sense memory of, you know, sometimes you never even want to share with people what makes you cry, you know, because it's really deeply personal.
Right.
You draw upon something in your personal life.
That is correct. That is one of the things I learned from Strasbourg. I can think of it, and, you know, yes.
Wow.
You think of it, and as long as you're pairing it with the continuity of the script and the character and the story, you just need to just bring that little memory back and pow.
Wow. And Steve, what about you? Can you do that?
It was harder for me when I was younger. It's easier now. I think it's a bit of a generalization, but I found women have access to their tears a little more than men do. Whenever I'd work with scenes with actresses and everything,
true, Liz?
I'm starting to cry for you right now.
When I was in my 20s and I'd see these women in my scene classes, they'd just go right to the tears. I was amazed. It was more work for me. Along the lines of what David said, what I found was that not only did I have to have some really key sense memory recollections that would trigger it, I also had to change them because you can't use them too often.
No,
I found,
burn out.
Exactly.
They become numb, right?
It's not quite the same. So you need it to sort of occasionally reboot the system in that regard, come up with something else and keep changing. What I find now is interesting is When I was younger, I would come from a big Italian-American family, and at the head of the table was my Uncle Bao. And Bao would, I'd look at him, and we're looking at the table, and he'd be crying. I'm saying, Uncle Bao, what's on? What's going on? And he'd say, it's just so beautiful. And I realized, as I've gotten older, I've turned into my Uncle Bao and my father. Because now, even little, I'm watching a television commercial, and I start welling up with tears.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say a TV show.
I've been teased about this more than once, as you might imagine. So now the tears, actually, as I've gotten older and experienced more life, they come a little quicker. But you still have those. I have those memories at the ready.
Wow. What about laughing? You read a part, and you have to laugh hysterically. No problem.
Don't you think actors
love emotion? Like, I love a good cry. I mean, I'm not an actor, but I was born one. I love a good cry. I think if you're in the performing world, you just love any excuse to feel and show emotion. Because we're drama queens. We're dramatic people. We're creative people in this art, right?
Totally.
I love a good cry. I watched one of these singing shows today, this afternoon, and the guy got hit. He wanted to be a singer, musician. He moved to Nashville. Within months of him being there, he got hit on his bicycle, paralyzed from the waist down, and his friend, who was a girl, helped him, motivated him, and now he was on this, you know, this big show. I can't say the name, can I? Can I?
No. I don't care.
No, the lady over there behind the glass is shaking her head at me, Sid. Wow. So I'm going to say no. But you know the one where it builds, like, idolic kind of people, right?
Yes.
You got it. Wow. Yeah, I was crying at that this afternoon.
Really? Well, that is, yeah, okay, I can see
I love
that.
A good human
that.
Story.
What about laughing?
I probably cry more than I laugh.
We all do, huh?
It's a sad commentary on society at the point, I think.
You guys have no problem laughing?
Again, sense memory. Just you recall something funny or just being, again, in the moment. The character is leading up to a big laugh. So just go with it. Think the way the character is thinking.
Okay, but you have to play a murderer.
Okay. Well, a murderer is going to find a lot of things funny. He's going to maybe really enjoy what he's doing. He just whacks a guy and he's like, ha, 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 look at you now.
Okay.
Right. There you go.
Sorry.
Was that to make us laugh?
The other thing I found about laughter, tears, to me, have to be a little more emotionally based. I found laughter, they'll say in acting, if you have to take a hammer and you hit a table long enough, you'll start to actually get angry. Laughter is kind of the same thing. Once you start laughing, even if initially it's not exactly connected to some true emotion, I have found that it begins to create the emotion itself, and that I can tap into that. Now, when I did the Groupon commercial with Tiffany Haddish, not that we did it together, but she's the spokesperson for Groupon, they did a subsequent Instagram thing on her account where she's laughing, and then they see me maniacally laughing. And what the director that day said to me was, he said, when I have the camera about 30 feet from you, and we're going to slowly come close and zoom in on you, and I want you just to laugh as maniacally as you can. And frankly, it was really easy. I mean, I'm not sure what that says about me, but it was laughing maniacally.
Maybe you're laughing at yourself.
Yeah,
in the
too.
Scene.
There's always something to laugh at. And once you get
laughing
started,
at me.
And once you get started, you can maintain it.
Wow. Okay. All right. Let's go to another topic here. I was thinking about this. This is a very interesting topic for people. Let's say you go into casting office and you read for a part, okay? You book it. Casting director's really on your side. You book the part. It's fantastic. Should you do something such as send a gift to the casting director? Or should you leave it alone? Should you write a note or leave it alone? You don't want to be over the top about it. What do you think you should do, Steve?
I always send a note. And it's just, you know, handwritten note, nothing typed, nothing, you know, printed out. Something I write just expresses my gratitude for the situation. What I will sometimes do is that the holidays are all around, I'll send a little something. Have Merry Christmas. It's sort of after the thought. It's a little bit of a secondary gift. It's not like I'm piling it on at the moment. And it kind of triggers their memory as well. Not to mention the fact that I love Christmas and I love sending Christmas gifts. So it works for me as well.
Oh, that's nice. What about you, Dave?
Same thing. I like notes, a handwritten note.
Right.
I do a handwritten note whether I book the job or whether I even get an audition.
Mm-hmm.
Just thank you for having me in because
mm-hmm.
I really appreciate it. It's wonderful. They chose my picture. They chose my, you know, what my agent's recommendation was. It's an honor to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I always look forward to it. It's a big special event.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Let me ask this next topic here. You get to read for, let's say, a role, and it's a decent role with some dialogue
mm-hmm.
for a movie. and you have to do a British accent.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a day's notice.
Okay.
And you read it, and you try to get the British accent down, but you can't do it. You just can't do it.
Hmm.
And you say to yourself, I don't want to go in and make a fool of myself.
Right.
I don't want to look bad, but I just can't do it. Now, you tell your agent, I just can't do it. And the agent says, So what do you want the agent to tell the casting director about that particular interview? What would you do, Liz?
With the talent or with myself?
With yourself.
If I had been in that situation, I do British really well.
Yes, you do. Shocking.
I'd say, can I do it in Welsh, please?
There you go.
I could never do American, could I? I'm not very good at American. So.
Okay, yeah, so what would you... You don't want them to think you can't do something. And some people go, oh, why don't you tell them that I'm sick?
Okay, so I grew up around Catherine Zeta-Jones. As you know, my family, her family, my dad plays golf occasionally with Di Hollywood, they call him her dad. So when Catherine and I did Night of 100 Stars, I was very young. I was probably 15 and she was about 21. And she'd made it already in the UK. I sat in her dressing room and she said to me, Liz, you never say no to any opportunity.
Okay.
And I've never forgotten that.
So you would fearlessly go in there and do your best.
I'd keep recording myself. See, to do an American, it's the placement of the R's. I can't. I sounded probably Irish then. They're like water.
You'd be good in Boston. They don't pronounce R's.
I would just keep recording myself for 24 hours.
Really? Okay.
Until I did a okay
version.
I like
that answer because you'd be fearless. What would you do? What would you say to your agent? Would you say, tell him I'm sick? Tell him I had to go out of town, an emergency.
No.
If you tell him you're sick, they're going to say, is the person still available for the shoot date?
Right.
Then what do you do?
Exactly.
Say,
I'm with Liz on this. I would just do everything in my power to get as close to it as I could. If it's not perfect, it's not perfect. But at least you're in the room, you're meeting the people. If they don't consider you for that role, they may consider you for another role. Okay? And I think in their heart of hearts, they're not expecting everyone to have a killer English accent. They know they're going to hear a variety and a range. Some are going to be better than others, you know, and you take your chance. You make the best of it.
What would you do, Dave?
I agree with Steve and Liz. No matter what, I'm not going to turn down an audition. I'm going to go in there and go do my best. And if they have a problem with that, you know, they requested that I be there for that audition. I'm not going to call my agent and say I'm not going in. I get an audition, I go and do it.
I think more than anything, at the end of the day, it's not about that current job you're going in for. It's about that relationship you're building with a casting director.
Exactly.
So if I'm not right for this job today, she or he is going to remember me for the next one or the one after. It's about casting directors. What I've learned in the last few weeks are so good at their jobs. They're so good. They know who they want and they do look and they do remember who they meet. And that's right. Something I couldn't believe that they would remember, but they do.
It's like
they've got a catalog or a library in their brain.
They have fantastic. Well, myself, for instance, I've done it so much in repetition of meeting people. And, you know, you can tell the first 5 seconds when you meet somebody if there's something there. And, of course, if I hadn't learned in 32 years, I would be a stone idiot. But you learn as you do this. And casting people, you know, they start off as assistant casting directors or they start off, answering the phone, interns or whatever. And they're taught, so to speak, as time goes on. My gosh, half the show's almost over. Holy mackerel. All right. Well, stay tuned. We will be back in about a few minutes here with part two of the Sid Levine Show. What a fascinating, informative, fantastic show.
Absolutely.
All right, don't go anywhere, everybody, because the best is yet to come. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money because it isn't customized to you.
Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress starting at just $600. Just go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress made just for you with a 100-night sleep trial and financing as low as 0%. For a limited time, get $50 off your mattress order when you go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio. That's HelixSleep.com/talkradio.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Ratings based on a 2018 survey of 1,600 U.S. singles.
I wasn't so sure about getting on eHarmony, but my brother said, hey, I met my wife on eHarmony. Just give it a shot.
They got us talking, and then we realized we are meant for each other.
eHarmony has the highest quality of matches. That's why we're rated the number one trusted dating site.
Gave it a shot, and I found the best person for my life.
For a limited time, get a free month included when you buy a 3-month plan. Go to eHarmony.com. Use code 3131. eHarmony.com. Use code 3131.
At Progressive, we think your handbag business with the reversible top notch is top notch. In fact, there's no other notch at the tippity top your top notch doesn't top. But even at the top, you didn't stop. You copped Progressive Business Insurance. With over 40 years of expertise helping non-stop and top-notchers notch spots at the top. Now, break out your stopwatch and hopscotch to ProgressiveCommercial.com. Because this is one opportunity you don't want to botch. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. President Trump said in a tweet that he did not spend much time with former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe and that he never saw him take any notes. This after it was reported that McCabe had turned over memos about his interactions with the president to Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio was asked if he would like McCabe to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Potentially, but ultimately people have to understand our probe is different from the special counsel. Our probe is about election security, about the methods, about breakdowns in our intelligence system if they happen in terms of identifying Russian interference. We're not a criminal justice probe. We're not prosecutors.
Two Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee say they want to review whether McCabe's firing was justified. KABC SoCal weather tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-40s to around 50. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Find the remarkable you during Macy's VIP sale with incredible savings for you and your home. Plus, take an extra 10 to 30% off with your Macy's card or savings pass, even on designers that rarely go on sale. You'll even get 15% off any beauty purchase with your Macy's pass. And with the new Macy's Star Rewards, cardholders get better rewards and more savings. Get extra 30% savings, even on your favorite designers, at Macy's VIP sale. Savings off regular and sale prices. Exclusions apply.
If you have hard water, the Limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate Limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money because it isn't customized to you. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress starting at just $600. Just go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress made just for you with a 100-night sleep trial and financing as low as 0%. For a limited time, get $50 off your mattress order when you go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio. That's HelixSleep.com/talkradio.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
We are back. Sid Levine, the Sid Levine Show, 790 KABC Radio. What is that phone number, Liz, in case they want to call us?
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready. Oh, God.
Oh, right then, tidy. It's 1-800-222-5222.
I like it. That's
nicely
great.
Done. Nicely
That's
done.
Great. All right. You do great, Brooklyn.
I can't do anything American.
All right. So I have a. I think we're all in for a tremendous treat here. Steve.
Yes, sir.
You sing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess most of what you sing is Sinatra.
I sing a little bit of Sinatra, a lot of Sinatra, I should say. Bobby Darin, Frank, Dean Martin, Nat King Cole.
Oh,
I will segue into some vintage rock and roll, a little bit of Motown, a little bit of Elvis.
Wow.
A little bit of Dion and the Belmonts.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I have talked to Steve about giving us a little sample here of
Alrighty.
What comes out of his mouth.
Okay.
So take it away, Steve.
All right.
The mic is yours.
Thank you very much. I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world. Man, this is the life. Hey now, I'm so in love.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. That's it right there. Give us
Thank
another
you.
One. I want to hear another one.
Okay, very good. Why don't we slow it down a bit, okay? It's Moonlight in Vermont, anecdote. Sinatra sang 1,500 songs in his career. I tell this little anecdote when I sing.
Wow.
He once said that Moonlight in Vermont was his personal favorite.
Oh, my God.
And a little anecdote we'll tell after the song. So we'll quiet it down a bit. Telegraph cables, how they sing down the highway. And they travel each bend in the road. People who meet in this romantic setting are so hypnotized by the lovely evening summer breeze, the warbling of a meadowlark. Moonlight in Vermont, moonlight in Vermont, moonlight in Vermont.
That's wonderful.
Bravo. Bravo. Thank you very much.
All right, so let me ask you, Steve, do you know My Way?
Yes, I do.
You know it by memory, right?
Pretty much.
All right, we've got to try something here.
Okay.
All right.
Don't include the rest of us. Come on, Nancy.
I don't match anything you do. So I'm probably gonna need the lead ins with you anyways.
Okay.
But you're gonna sing one line and I'm gonna sing one line.
All right.
All right. So
okay.
So let's do it. So I'll start the first line.
All righty.
And then you start the second, and I'll do the third, and so on and so forth. This is going to be interesting.
Okay.
Are we
going to do the whole song, or just a certain
Well, as much as I remember, can yeah. remember before I fall
okay.
down. Honesty.
All right, here we go. Sid Levine, Steve Oliver.
That's it.
Okay.
The SNS.
Exactly.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Start spreading the news.
Now, that's New York, New York. You want to sing that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I
would love to sing that, Sid.
All right.
But it's, and now the end is near.
That's right. Okay.
There you go.
Just don't look at me at all. No singing over here.
I was looking at it. Okay. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain.
My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain.
I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway.
And more, much more than this, I did it my way.
Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention.
I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption.
To chart.
I plan
to
each charted course,
each careful step along the byway.
And more, much more than this, I did it my way.
For what is a man? What has he got?
If not himself, then he has not.
To say the things he truly feels.
And not the words of one who kneels.
The record shows
we took the blows and did it our way.
Good job.
I remember that the rest of my life.
That was great.
Thank you. May I make a little plug?
Go ahead.
Be singing, me and my lovely band, we're going to be singing Friday, April 20th at Baroni's Italian Restaurant in Valley Glen, which is Sherman Oaks adjacent.
Oh, so there you have it. I want to come.
We go from 8 p.m. to midnight, and we will rock your world. We do a great job.
Wow, that's a
April
lot of
20th.
Songs.
A lot of songs. Yeah. A lot of songs.
Say it again, April 20th.
April 20th, Friday night, 8 p.m. to midnight at Baroni's Italian Restaurant.
How many seats have they got? I think we already just filled
it. There we go. It's fantastic. You'll have a great time. And like I said, we mix it up. And we have. By the way, there's an area where people can dance comfortably.
Really?
So there you have it.
Or uncomfortably.
Uncomfortably, exactly.
I'm not.
Exactly.
I tell you, I can't dance. All right. So... getting back to the acting.
Yes. hobby of acting now.
So I have a question to ask.
Ask away.
It's a very serious question here. There's a lot of controversy about the Academy Awards.
Okay.
Some actors feel there shouldn't be an award. You shouldn't. Is Christian Bale as good as, Colin...
Gary Oldman?
Yeah, or Is there really somebody that's better than somebody else? Now, how can you do that in a way? How can you vote just the performance better mm-hmm. than another performance which is stellar? They're both stellar mm-hmm. performances. So, David, how do you feel about that?
Okay, I've actually thought about this before. You know, how relevant are the Academy Awards? I think it's a wonderful institution, the Motion Pictures of Arts and Sciences. And what they're doing, in a sense, is just celebrating film. Okay. So you have the different categories, best picture, best actor, best actress, best director. And I think that what it is the body of the Academy, which is made up of diverse people, different ages, different experience levels, but they've paid their dues. You can't just write a check to get into the Academy. And so I think it is possible because they no longer say, and the winner is. They say the award goes to. Okay. And to me, I think you can differentiate. You've got five great performances, but the Academy as a group is choosing one. And I think I'm good with it.
So you're good with that?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So that one person has a better performance than the others.
It has been elected as the best performance by that body in the Academy. Yes.
Okay. All right. What about you, Steve?
I'm totally for awards. Now, granted, I have a sports background, so to me, I love playing sports. I love watching sports. I love football and baseball. I'm a big Yankees fan. So I'm very comfortable with the idea that there's always going to be a winner and a loser, okay?
You like competition.
And I love competition. Just once in a while, someone unfortunately lose something maybe they shouldn't lose, possibly. I think it was a movie a few years ago. Denzel Washington was brilliant in this role as an alcoholic pilot. But he was up against Daniel Day-Lewis, who was playing Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
I mean, he's just not going to win that award. So it's a little unfortunate, but by and large, I think people resonate with performances, some more than others. No matter how brilliant somebody is, you still resonate more with one performance than you do with another. And I'm comfortable with that.
What about you, Liz?
I absolutely love watching. I love watching, and I love seeing the build-up, and I watch all the screeners myself.
Yeah.
I know
this isn't my opinion, but I know that there's always been people kind of thinking it's a cliquey group and they always choose very kind of weird artsy films. And I didn't like the look of The Shape of Water, right? But I did think, okay, the Oscars is coming up. I'm going to have to watch this screener. So I did watch it. And I cried at the end, but I've got to say, I found it very difficult, say, a quarter of the way through to about three quarters of the way through. And I sat and I persisted, and then I thought it was one of the most beautiful pieces of art at the end. I sometimes find the choices a little quirky, but I have to respect that these people that are voting, the people that are the body or on the board, I guess they know a lot more than me. They've been around a lot longer than me, so I'll always respect it. And I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's an institution. I think we always look towards it. I think there's a lot of people that are always unhappy. They're never included. They're not involved. But personally, I thought Gary Oldman was amazing.
For me, I watched
him play the role, and I was just fascinated. What an incredible actor. So, you know, we all have different opinions, right? Art is completely subjective, so we're never going to agree with every category or every award. So, and that's the interesting thing. And at the end of the day, I think we have to respect this is a cumulative voting process with experts.
It's also just fun to watch. And
I like the clothes and the dresses, to
absolutely,
be honest.
Absolutely. That's one of the things, for sure. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to see people competing, and it's fun to see, and to some degree, it brings attention to all the performances, maybe a little more than it might. You know, let's face it, if there's five nominees for Best Actor, and the fifth actor is in some movie that's maybe not, didn't do that well, that's, now it's being brought back into the public eye again, and they'll see it, or they'll be aware of it.
I think one thing that is interesting is there are films that come out in the year that have a bigger budget, that have a lot more money on PR and marketing,
true,
and often it's the films that aren't the biggest budget. So there has to be some sort of respect, because if money was kind of going into promoting certain films or certain actors, then we'd have a different outcome. So there is a certain level of honesty and integrity and just looking at the art and the talent. But yeah, I think a lot of people have been snubbed throughout the years. I think Richard Burton wasn't he?
I think so.
And me being Welsh, you know, I've always been brought
Paul
up
Newman
with,
was for years.
I was always brought up with the story that he was never, you know, awarded. And, you know, it does make you question, is it ever political? Or are there any, yeah, I don't know.
Like comedians, if it's a comedy, sometimes that's like the kiss of death. Or if it's a high, super high budget major film, they never get nominated for anything.
Right.
And nobody really, I guess, maybe I'm way off here, but takes it very seriously because it's not so-called an artistic film. It's a money film.
Right.
Whereas they throw $200 million at it or whatever,
right,
as opposed to somebody else makes one for, you know, $10 million and it just goes crazy.
Well the other thing is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just, again, film. Nobody, sorry, anyone from another country out there, but nobody makes film like America. And so for me, again, the Academy Awards are just a celebration of something we do in this country better than anyone else.
I don't know. I think Bollywood would fight you on that.
Well,
the British Academy Awards are pretty good.
The BAFTAs are wonderful as well.
I think Hollywood is moving, though. I mean, I was speaking to somebody in Atlanta this week and... You know, just because Hollywood has been the place doesn't mean it'll always be the place. I mean, that worries me, but a lot of films aren't being made, you know.
Same with Vancouver and Toronto, right? A lot of films are...
North Carolina, Atlanta, Canada. New York City, of course.
My home city, Swansea, has a film studio. Yeah, they raise billions or multi-millions.
Wow.
Yeah, for their own film studio.
Now... We have Netflix and Hulu, and we have Amazon, and all these new streaming networks have come to be, especially Netflix is throwing a huge amount of money around.
They're a real legitimate player.
And yeah, they're up there now. Do you see that as the future of television and actually film? Because I want to tell you something. A lot of people don't want to go to the movie theaters anymore. They want to stay home. They have all the equipment. And I'm just saying this, that I'm probably, because I'm old-fashioned in what I see in the news or whatever. In the very, very, very back of my mind, I think of what we've seen in the news of somebody going into a movie theater. And I know that's a billion-to-one shot, but still, that one shot, I think of that.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that that is the future of what we're about to see?
I think it's a substantial part of the future. Yes, I think the streaming will always encroach, it will continue to encroach more and more on people going to the theater live. But I also believe that there's something about going to a theater that is unique, that people always cherish a little bit, okay? Now, whether, I think Black Panther is a good example of that. What is it, up to like 400 million now?
It's huge.
Passing Avatar. Granted, it's a blockbuster film and they always have their own little niche. But I think it shows that people love going to the movies and watching a film collectively with strangers, as opposed to the other great experience, watching it at home. But I think theaters will continue to thrive.
What about you, Dave?
Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit.
Fair enough.
I think there's always going to be an interest to go to the cinema. If there's especially with young people, mm-hmm. children, and so on. But the cost of going to a theater now, the cost of having a little nosh or something along with your film, it's just become absolutely outrageous. I think it's too expensive. And the comfort at home, you can even just turn it off and then turn it back on if you need to use the restroom. I mean, just the luxury and not having somebody kick the back of your seat, which is a pet peeve
like
of mine. Oh yeah. But anyway, the movies will always be a fun place to go, but I've noticed I've been going less and
fair
doing
enough.
More of the Netflix and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a few things that's happened recently. Apple, on your iPhone, they actually had a whole, when you go into the app shop, there was a whole area where you could download apps to make your own films. So all the young kids that know how to add apps, Apple was kind of promoting about 3 or 4 apps where you make your own films. So I think what's going to happen in the future, go into the movie theaters. I think people will always go if the film has been hyped up enough and it's a huge enough budget because we want to see it on the big screen. But when it comes down to the cost, there's something called Movie Pass. Now,
I've heard about
MoviePass.com. You sign up, it's subscription, so you pay every single month $10, and you can go to the movies as many times as you want that month.
Mm.
Now, you have to question, why are the movie theaters doing this? Because obviously, the cost of going to watch one film is about $15, right?
Mm.
Yet MoviePass is $10, so you could go every day. So why are they doing it? And I think it's because they know it's a dying institution. I mean, look at Blockbusters.
Yeah.
I used to love on a Friday night going to Blockbusters, mm-hmm. getting 2 or 3 DVDs.
Right.
I used to get told off by my family for getting so many films, right?
It's wonderful.
And sometimes they would be back late, and that's gone. So movie theaters probably would die unless they do something. So you've got Movie Pass. That is in, and every 20-year-old knows about this. I didn't. I wrote it on a forum, and they were like, Liz, you're a little bit late getting into this.
I'm learning right now.
I know, and the kids know all of this. I think the future is on the internet. I don't think we're going to be having that many televisions at home either. I think the next generation, 20-year-olds, teenagers, watch TV shows on their phone and on their computer, on their laptop or their iPad. So big screens, movie theaters, television, what we're used to will change, Sid, and we've got to kind of keep up with that.
I'm curious to know how that will affect special effects. Let's face it, if you watch something on a computer screen, you're not getting the definition you would get in a large theater. And then you have to wonder, will they begin to spend less on certain kinds of special effects because it's just not visible on a tiny screen?
No, yeah. I think there is a respect, especially with the younger generation, that when it is a special effect or a 3D, is it, film?
Mm-hmm, right.
I know that that's not included in MoviePass 2.
Okay.
So when it's a 3D film, you have mm-hmm. to pay the full price. So they've obviously, these experts that work it out, they've obviously realized that certain people go to films for certain experiences.
Mm-hmm. Today,
another thing that they've been ruminating about for years, but they can't seem to get around to, is that they were going to say that if you're going to see Black Panther, then it's going to be $20. But if you're going to go to see Lady Bird, it's going to be $8. Meaning that the amount of money
like
spent on the film,
price,
some to get, yes. I
right.
think that if they did that, that would get more people into the independent films and the smaller
films. Oh,
yeah, films.
That's a good idea.
I tell you, when you talk about the special effects and what have you, most homes have huge TVs.
True.
I mean, they can.
But
right.
the kids don't
well,
sit. And they don't even sit in the rooms with the living room. They don't sit in the living room with their
right.
parents.
It, if somebody was making a film and it was for young kids and they knew most of the kids would be watching it on a cell phone or a computer screen or a laptop, they probably would make it accordingly. That would come into the studio executives' heads or the producers' heads or what have you. I guess it depends on what audience you're targeting.
Yeah.
And what you're trying to accomplish with the film. What I'm seeing here is Netflix, for instance, they're paying big people their price in mm-hmm. Hollywood. They are. They're paying Ryan Murphy $300 million.
Right.
They're paying Bruckheimer and all these people huge money, which changes the landscape because if a studio wants to hire these guys now, they got to cough up the money
right.
because they've set a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix has done that.
Very true.
And I think that that's fascinating in itself.
Could some of this be demographic? You know, because America's getting older and just having more product that's available at home so you don't have to go out
and
schlep around. You know, so.
And it's safer.
Yeah.
I really believe that it is safer
mm-hmm.
to do it that way. And the way society is today, mm-hmm. a lot of parents, you know, think about that. A lot of kids think about it. I know I think about it,
mm-hmm.
that I would rather have the pizza delivered and mm-hmm. sit in my recliner and watch my 73-inch TV
mm-hmm.
than to have to go to the movie theater and spend, for two people, you're looking at about 50, 60 bucks. With some food.
Yeah.
With some popcorn and you know.
But it's the same with the shopping malls as well, isn't it? People want to buy online.
That's
we
exactly
want the
right.
experiences at home.
Everything is changing little by little.
I don't think I'm alone in saying what I said kind of earlier, which is I enjoy both experiences. I enjoy
the piece
coming to the house and also going to see a film.
It's fantastic. Of course, in theater, I mean, nothing's going to replace theater.
No. Hopefully not.
You can't watch it and go, I just watched a great theater performance on TV. I mean, sure, you can on PBS or whatever, but there's nothing compared to going to an opera in person.
That's for sure.
Or going to the Amundsen and seeing an incredible performance of somebody.
Do you know that the culture in the United Kingdom and America is totally different? In America, your biggest TV shows will be on what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night?
Mm-hmm.
In the United Kingdom, you want to be on TV on a Saturday night as an actor or a TV host. Saturday night is the big night when everybody stays in. And I don't know whether it's because of the weather. We don't go out as much.
Could be.
But here in America, you guys normally want to go out for sport reasons or entertainment mm-hmm. reasons on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Yes, yeah. Listen, we only have a few seconds left here, and I want to thank David Sunderland. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me, Sid.
Fantastic guest, great actor. And Steve Oliver.
Thank you,
what a voice you have.
Yes.
Mr. Sinatra. Thank you very much.
And what an actor you are.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's an honor. I want to tell you that it's an honor to represent you, and I hope your dad's looking down on us.
He is.
And Liz, as usual, thank you so much, Liz. You're fantastic. We'll see everybody next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, KABC, 790. And have a fantastic week. Stay warm. And Trish on Facebook, thank you so much.
Thank you, Trish.
Yes, thank you, Trish.
All right. And Keith, hey. All right. Everybody and Patricia. Hi, Patricia.
We miss you.
Everybody, we do. We miss you. All right, everybody. Have a fantastic week. See you Sunday night.
This show furnished by Sid Levine.